Our study continues in the 6th chapter of Judges. We're ready to begin to 35th verse. And in this chapter, we're having the story of Gideon being called to deliver the people from the Midianites. Gideon has already received his call. He's already risen up and destroyed the altar in the grove of Baal. And the people now have become reconciled to the fact that Gideon has taken this stand against Baal. And apparently, they are joining in with him. In the 33rd verse, we're told that all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. So they're beginning to accumulate in a large number. They're gathered together, whether it's for battle, whether it's for conquest of the crops this year. All amounts to the same thing. They are going to be a very formidable force. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So his own family gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also were gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. So now we have several tribes of the Israelites gathered together with a force to meet these Midianites and to encounter them. But before we get into the actual battle, before we get into the actual conflict, Gideon wants to have a sign from God. A sign from God to show that he's with him. A sign from God to show that he is going to give him the victory. A sign that will show that this is the time for the victory. And maybe also this sign would serve to help bolster the faith not only of Gideon, but of those who were going to be with him in the battle. So beginning with verse 36, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." Now this would be a sign that would truly be from the Lord. For we read in Micah 5, verse 7, that the dew is from the Lord. So to make the dew do something different from what it ordinarily would do would have to come from God. Man has no control upon making the dew do this. And so the requirement that Gideon put forth in order to receive a confirmation from God, to receive some kind of a sign, would be that he'd put this fleece of wool in the floor, and that the dew would be on the fleece only, and it would be dry upon all the earth besides. Then he said, "I will know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." Now this seemed to be certainly a sign of weak faith on the part of Gideon, that he would require God to do this now at this time, but he felt the need to have further confirmation, and so this is the thing he requested. Now, to make the dew fall only on this small fleece of wool, and to not get on any of the earth round about it, would certainly be a miracle. So, verse 38 says, "And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water." So the sign had certainly been given to Gideon. It was evident for him and for any who would want to observe that this was God telling him that I've given you this charge. I'm with you. Now is the time. I want you to defeat these people. But we see that it was not enough for Gideon. And so in verse 39, "And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." So Gideon wants him to reverse the miracle, to show from an entirely different standpoint now how that God was going to be with him and to perform the miracle all over in a reverse fashion. He wanted now for the fleece to be dry and all the earth round about to be wet with the dew. And this even seems to be more of a lack of faith on the part of Gideon. And Gideon realizes this. He's rather embarrassed to ask that this be done again. For he says, "Let not thine anger be hot against me." Please, God, don't be angry with me. Do not be wrathful toward me because I'm asking for further proof. Maybe Gideon thought that it was even possible that somebody could have come out and wet this piece of fleece. And nobody having seen it happen, and they would have just thought that it was a sign from God when really it wasn't. So now he's going to ask for a sign that will be altogether impossible for man to reproduce any kind of way, where he's going to let all the ground have dew on it and the fleece only be dry. And so we ask God, just this once, prove once again this way that you're going to be with me. Verse 40, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew upon all the ground. So the miracle was done in reverse. It was again proven to Gideon that God was with him, and this was truly a remarkable feat. It did show to Gideon that God could recognize this small fleece of wool whenever it was placed on the ground, and he could recognize it from all the other ground and area round about it, either to the point of making it wet with dew and everything else dry, or making it dry and everything else wet with dew. There are some who read another figure in this. Since the dew is sometimes symbolic of the Word of God, then there was a time when this little fleece of wool represented Israel. That was the small area located in the vast wilderness of the rest of the world. And it was the only thing that had the Word of God. It was wet with dew when all the ground round about it was dry, that it was devoid of the Word of God. But now that the Savior has come and Israel has rejected him, we find that the rest of the world now has the Word of God, and only Israel is left dry. Only the fleece of wool is dry. So that's just another symbol that some see here, although that is not the direct teaching of this passage. Gideon was given his sign, reverse and forward, inside and out, and so now there could be no question that he was the man, this was the time, and they were to now free Israel from the Midianites. So we begin chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. Now, as we learned earlier, Jerubbaal is another name for Gideon. It was given him by his father, and it means let Baal plead against him because he had thrown down his altar. That is, Baal had many followers at the time that Gideon threw down the altar. These followers rose up against Gideon, and so the father stepped in and said, let Baal plead for himself. You don't have to plead for Baal. Baal will take care of himself if he's a true God. And so he gave this name to Gideon, which is a constant challenge to Baal to defend himself against Gideon if he be a true God. And he's here called Jerubbaal in defiance of this false god of Baal. So then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early. Now they were going to be about the business of the Lord. They had adequate proof now by these two miracles of God concerning the dew and the fleece of wool. They had adequate proof that God was with them. This was the time. This was the place. And so they were ready to go. They rose up early. They didn't tarry about getting off to a good start that day, but they got an early start and they pitched beside the well of Herod. The exact location of the well of Herod doesn't seem to be known, but it's evidently somewhere close to this plain of Jezreel, and some think that it's on Mount Gilead, some think that it's on Little Hermon, but it's in this vicinity there in the tribe of Issachar where the battle is going to be fought. In verse 2 we have a very interesting thought given, and we see here how that the mind of God is not the same as the mind of man. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So it seems that Gideon had an army here of 32,000 men, which was not a really large number compared to the number that Israel could muster, and also compared to the number that they needed in the eyes of men for these Midianites. But to the Lord, they're too many men. You have more than you need. And the reason was that lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. God wanted them to have a few enough men that it would appear very apparent that he had given them the victory and not that the people had gotten the victory on their own. Had they been going to get the victory on their own without the help of God, they would not have suffered this rule that the Midianites had imposed upon them for the previous 7 years. So God wanted to be very clear that He was the one giving the victory and not that they were going to get the victory on their own. So He said, there are too many men. These are more than we're going to need. So verse 3, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So God invoked a law that was given back in Deuteronomy about those that were fearful and afraid, those who felt like they were not going to be able to go through with this, they really weren't brave enough to continue in battle, then they could depart and leave from the army. This rule is given in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, and we'd like to read that. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. So the rule was that if somebody was fearful and faint-hearted, that they were going to be more of a detriment than they would be to an advantage to the army, because they would just make the other soldiers also fearful, and this spirit of fear would rub off on those round about. So they could depart and go home. And so that's the rule that's invoked here, given by God to Gilead, so that they could cut down this number of men. They had 32,000 men, and 22,000 then left. And that left 10,000 soldiers now. And, of course, 10,000 probably seemed like to Gideon that they were really cutting the force down. This is a very small army, although it's about the number that Barak had whenever he defeated Sisera and the king of Canaan. But still, we're going to find that 10,000 is more than God wants to use. So verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So there's going to be another test now by which the people were going to be further divided, and the army was going to be diminished even more so. Verse 5, so he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Verse 6, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So it seems that the men were thirsty, or either that or they were preparing to go into battle and they thought this might be their last opportunity to drink. So when they got to the water, and this might have been the stream that ran by this well of Herod or some near a stream in that area. When they got to this water, the men drank in two different ways. One group drank by dipping their hand into the water and lapping out of their hand like a dog. The other group got out on their knees and apparently put their lips to the water and drank in that manner. But the method by which they drank the water was to be the means by which Gideon made the distinction as to whether or not they would be allowed to stay in the army or be turned free to go back home. So verse 6 says, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So now we see the army is going to be reduced down to 300 men. They started out with 32,000, and now they're going to be 300, which means that only about one man out of every 100 was allowed to stay in the army to fight this battle. Now, God gave the reason for this. The reason was that He did not want the Israelites to think that they had won this battle on their own. He didn't want them to vaunt themselves up and think because of their superior numbers and their strength that they had gone out and done this thing. God wanted it to be known that He was the one that gave the victory. And we find that even today, in the church age, those of us who are serving the Lord will find that many of our tasks are going to be done by few. They're not going to be a big, large number of people volunteering and going into the work of God, but they're going to be few. The laborers seem to always be few. And as Jesus said, along this line, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so the things that we do in the church today, although we do our part and we carry out the things that we've agreed to do, still it is God that works in us to do it. And God gets all the credit, all the honor, all the glory, and we really deserve none for ourselves. We're simply servants of God doing our duty. So after these 300 men were set aside, the remainder of the 10,000 were allowed to go every man unto his place, which means they could go on back home. They could just go and forget it. Now, whether they did this or not, we don't know. If they truly were concerned and interested, they might very well have tarried at a distance to see how the outcome of the battle was going to be, but the Bible doesn't say that. But they were so free that they could go to his place. Verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of the Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now we see another interesting thing in this verse, that these 300 men, they took victuals in their hand, which seems to indicate that they only took the necessary things for a kind of hand-to-mouth existence in their hand. They didn't take along a lot of baggage. They didn't have a servant or two for each man to carry the luggage and the supplies, but each man took what he was going to have in his hand, and their trumpets. Now, it seems that they used trumpets here in the place of weapons, and this would be most unusual for soldiers to each be armed with a trumpet rather than some other kind of more suitable weapon, a sword or spear or a shield or something. But this is the way that these 300, this reduced number, were equipped now to go into this battle. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent. So they were completely dismissed. They were free to go back to their home, to their tent. And he retained those 300 men. And the host of the Midian was beneath him in the valley. So here's this great formidable enemy force that's now before him. They're there in the valley waiting for any kind of action on the part of the Israelites. And of course Gideon knows that they're waiting for him to make some kind of a move. Verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. So now we have the word of the Lord coming to Gideon. And this word is telling Gideon to take action. Arise, get thee down unto the host. So he has the command to go into battle. He has the command to go into the presence of the Midianite army and engage them. And he further says, for I have delivered it into thine hand. He not only has the command to go into action, but he also has the promise of success. I've delivered it into thine hand. You're going to be successful, Gideon. Now, of course, Gideon would have to have a lot of faith to really believe this. And so God, as he often does, he gives Gideon a means by which he's going to be able to strengthen his faith. And Gideon must believe. He must have faith before he can carry this through. Faith is one of those things we can't just pretend that we have it. We must have it. It must be based upon something that's sound. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is substance and evidence. It's not just some imaginary thing. Gideon couldn't just imagine that he might be successful. He had to know it. He had to have some kind of reason to believe it. So God's going to give him the reason. He says in verse 10, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host. Now if you're afraid to go, Gideon, then I'm going to give you some evidence here that will bolster your faith and that will remove your fear. I want you to be your own spy. You take one of your servants, this one named Purah, No doubt he was a very faithful servant. He might have been one of the ten that helped get in to tear down the altar of Baal and the grove. And this would be a man he could confide in, but it would also be a man that would come back as a faithful witness, so that the things that were heard in this Midianite camp could be given back in the mouth of two witnesses. Not just one person telling it, but at least two. So go down and take that servant Purah with you to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. So Gideon was to be, as we said, his own spy. He was to go down and hear what was being said in this Midianite camp. No doubt Gideon was either disguised or hidden as he went down to hear what was said. And so verse 11 continues to say, then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So he seemed to be on the edge or the fringe of the camp. And we know that Gideon was a brave person to do this, to go down among this great host of the Midianites. We read in the next verse where they were like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, and as the sand by the seaside for multitude. So this was a very large number of men camped here. And the people that Gideon had in his army only numbered 300. So they take a lot of faith, a lot of courage, a lot of belief that God was going to be with you and God was going to give you the victory to encounter such a formidable foe as this. But nevertheless, God was going to allow Gideon to hear things that would strengthen his hands. And God intends for us to have strength, not to go into something weak and questioning and doubting, but he wants us to be strong. And we are strong by knowledge. We're strong by knowing the truth, by knowing the facts. And that's what Gideon's going to find out here as he goes into this host of the Midianites as a spy. Well, we're going to close at that point for this time. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.